Just as I am without one plea.
Good morning from your friends and neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. The Rock Creek Church of Christ is glad to share this program with you. We hope it will help you as you seek to know God and what His will is for your life. On our last program, we left off in James chapter 4, around verse number 9. We were talking about the need to cleanse our lives, to not live under the illusion that I can serve both the world and God. That if I seek out a connection, a friendship with the world, I cannot be a friend of God. I've been brought into this marriage relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I seek a relationship with something outside, then I'm placing myself at odds with the Heavenly Father. I'm no longer a friend of God. I am His enemy. So the solution, James says, is humility. Don't live in pride. Don't be lifted up, but humble yourself. Submit yourself to God. And there's a couple of things that I'd like to notice. We talked about this toward the end of last program, but I want to take just a moment to focus in on a couple of things he says. He says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. On past programs, I know I have advocated a respect for Satan. Satan is intelligent, he is cunning, he is powerful. And as Christians, we need to respect that power. Now, we see a balance that must be struck there. When we talked in 2 Peter chapter 2 about those who spoke dishonorably of authorities, of principalities and powers, I see there a warning that we don't speak evil of Satan. Even Michael the archangel, who is Satan's equal in power and authority, does not rebuke Satan. He says, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. He entrusts God to take care of this matter himself. So we need to respect Satan's authority. We need to respect him as an intelligent, cunning being. But he is not all-powerful or all-knowing. And in James chapter 4, verse number 7, there is a promise. If you resist the devil, he will flee from you. That might take time. That might take months in some cases. If you have a deeply ingrained habit that you're trying to overcome, it could take a very long time, a lot of resistance. But if you hold out, if you continue to try, there is a promise. He will flee from you. And if you draw near to God, God is going to draw near to you. If you find yourself straddling the fence, spiritually speaking, where you've got one leg in the world and one leg trying to serve God, here's the solution. Repent. Get away from the world. Resist the devil. Humble yourself, and God will draw near to you. I like verse number 10. He says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. We see Jesus doing that very thing. Jesus humbled himself in the sight of God and was obedient to the point of death. And by virtue of that humility, God has given him the name that is above every name. God has lifted him up. So as we look to our Savior, Jesus Christ, as we see his example of humility and meekness, we can see what will come as a result. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. In verse number 11, this once again returns to how we treat our fellow human being. He says, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges a brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another. Back in chapter number 2, James talks about the need for mercy. He says, judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And in my mind, these two ideas are connected. To speak evil of a brother, to say, well, so-and-so is doing wrong. They're going to be condemned to hell for that. To speak evil of them in such a way is to place yourself in a position that none of us want to be in. Only God is capable of making such declarations. And none of us want to find ourselves in the position of either legislating or of casting judgments in this respect. And that statement back in chapter 2, verse number 13, that's got to come to mind. Judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. You know, God has been incredibly merciful toward all of us. He has not given us what we deserve. We all deserve to be destroyed for our sin, and yet God has withheld that in the hopes that we might repent. And that's what we need to do for one another. Now, I certainly believe that there are moments where we need to help one another. Paul in Galatians chapter 6 says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. There are moments where we need to help our brother, to help him or her recognize that what they're doing is wrong, and to encourage them to repent. But even in that moment, when we are seeking to extend a hand of help, that needs to be tempered by mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment, James says. And as he says in verse number 12 here in the fourth chapter, who are you to judge another? We are not in the position of condemning anyone to hell, nor are we in the position of promoting anyone to heaven. These are matters that are left to God and God alone. So we need to sit in the mercy seat, if you will, to show mercy toward one another, recognizing that if I want mercy from God, if that's what I desire from God, then I need to show mercy toward my brothers and sisters. Once again, he shifts gears in verse number 13. He says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. In this section, James is talking about being careful in our planning. And bearing in mind that whenever we make plans, those plans are subject to the will of God. And it's subject to the will of God in this sense. We do not know when our life is going to end. We do not know from day to day, breath to breath, if we will have another. All we are promised is the moment we are living in. That's all we have. So James urges us as we make these plans, as we think about going to a city and conducting some sort of business there, to bear in mind that our life passes quickly. He says it's a vapor. You know, it's nice to take a hot shower, especially this time of year when it's cold outside. It's nice to take a hot shower and feel that warmth going throughout your entire body. And, you know, you look up and you see all that steam going up into the air. What happens to that steam once you turn off the faucet? Well, eventually it just disappears, right? That steam's just a vapor. And that's what your life is like. And the older you get, the more you realize just how quickly things pass. The other night I remarked to someone how quickly the last 3 years have passed. And he said, well, you'll be surprised at how quickly the next 30 pass. And that's so true. Life just seems to grow more rapid in its pace. It really is a vapor. For what is your life? James asks. So you make these plans. You make these commitments. You need to recognize that not all things are under your control. That, in fact, you may not be here. He goes on to say in verse 15, instead of making firm plans and saying, yes, I'm going to be there, he says, well, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. What a good piece of advice. When you make plans, say, Lord willing, I plan to do this. If God wills, I will do that. I will meet you at such and such a time in such and such a place if God is willing. That's the way James says we should make plans. Recognizing that as much as we would want to carry out that commitment, things happen, life happens, and sometimes life ends before we anticipate it. So living with that realization that life is quickly passing. This is an important realization for the Christian. But now, he says in verse 16, but now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. You may think you're strong. You may think you're smart. But no one escapes death. Verse number 17 is just a great principle. It says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. If you know the right thing to do in a given situation and you don't do it, you have committed a sin. You know, this verse is just a good rule of thumb across the board. To me, it's a little like the golden rule. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If I want to be treated a certain way, I should treat others that way. To me, this is another just general principle that can apply in so many different circumstances. If you know the right thing to do in a given situation and you do not do it, you are guilty of a sin. That's a good guiding principle in our marriages, in our work relationships, as parents, as fellow members of the church, as fellow human beings. If I see someone in need and I know that I should go help them and I don't do it, that's a sin. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Be careful in how you live your life. Live your life with integrity. Do what's right, regardless of the circumstance, and you will draw near to God.
As we draw this week's lesson to a close, your neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ want you to know that Jesus expects us to obey him. Jesus said many people think they are going to heaven, but only a few will find the narrow way to eternal life. Jesus wondered why people called him Lord but refused to obey him. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Jesus expects us to listen to his teachings and follow what he says. If you want to learn more about the commands of Jesus and the need for obedience, please visit us at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. Our church building sits 2 miles south of Walmart on Highway 59. We meet at 10 a.m. on Sundays for a Bible study, 11 a.m. for worship, and then again at 1:45 p.m. for a Bible study. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Please join us as we worship God, encourage one another, and learn more about God's will for our lives.